This is Howard Husick, Vice President for Policy Research at the Manhattan Institute, with another in our series of conversations entitled From the Desk of the Dean, appearing on the Institute's web magazine, Minding the Campus, and featuring Herb London, Senior Fellow of the Institute's Center for the American University and the former Dean of the Gallatin College for Individual Study at New York University. Our topic today is a response to the Chronicle of Higher Education Labor and Work-Life Issues column that recently appeared, entitled Aging Professors Create a Faculty Bottleneck. And the article detailed how at a number of prominent universities, the percentage of professors in their 70s and beyond has doubled since 2000, and such professors now make up 6% of the faculty at Cornell, and a sizable percentage at a number of other schools, including Claremont McKenna, University of Texas at Austin, and the University of Florida. And it's a trend, of course, because mandatory retirement was abolished some time ago, and faculty have no reason to move on, and it can be a pretty great life to be a tenured faculty member. Should we be worried about this, Herb?
Well, I think we should be. I mean, when Senator Moynihan was responsible for eliminating the involuntary retirement clause that existed in most universities through legislation that he helped to sponsor, he was thinking of people like Peter Drucker and Sidney Hook, who after their retirement, their involuntary retirement at the time from New York University, went on to have another 20, 25 years of very successful work in their scholarship. The difference, however, is that today we find that approximately a third of all professors in the United States are over 60. It is creating a bottleneck because it provides very few opportunities for people to find jobs on the campus and for those associate professors to move up. We should be providing a reward system for people who are doing meritocratic work. And there is no question in my mind that this bottleneck is having a serious influence on higher education. It is very difficult to continue to do the same things that you've been doing and not provide for the ventilation of scholarship within the academy. People I've known a great many people. Let me just put it that way. I was going to try and cite specific illustrations, but I won't do so. But there are many people using the same yellowing notes that they used for the last 50 years. And it's time to see some sort of change. I think it's desirable to have an involuntary retirement, maybe not 65, maybe it's 70, maybe it's 72, but I think it's desirable for the academy to move in this direction.
Of course, the other side of the coin would be the experience that you would lose, the wisdom that you would lose. Do you have any sympathy for that perspective?
I do have sympathy for it, and of course that's the case, and there are lots of ways in which you can include those people who are still lucid and still have a significant contribution to make. And they can be part-timers. They can advise the existing members of the faculty. They can be consultants to the university. There are a variety of ways to keep them involved. But to keep them as full professors in the academy, earning full professor salaries, creating the bottleneck that makes it very difficult for younger faculty members to move up, that I think is very undesirable.
Well, are you worried mainly then about giving opportunities for young PhDs, or is there something else going on in your mind about the ideas, the new sorts of scholarship
Well, you're raising, of course, what I consider to be the essential question. And that is the ventilation that occurs within scholarship itself.
Ventilation, what do you mean?
Well, I mean that you have to bring new ideas, new people into a scholarly area. Allow them to explore ideas that others are not exploring. It seems to me that what you want is to give young people an opportunity to consider and challenge the prevailing sentiments that exist in a discipline. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to do that is to allow young people to find a place in the academy where they can challenge the older professors. And I think it's very important for that to occur. This kind of what I'm describing as ventilation is not occurring in the way it once did. And it's not occurring in large part because people are there, they're in their positions, they're kind of ossified, and that's a kind of unfair word to use, but many of them are ossified. And as a consequence, young people do not have the opportunity to explore ideas and challenge their elders.
Between the lines of what you're saying there, permit me, I detect the sense that you have an aging professoriate that's probably on the political left, and you're speculating that there might be a challenge to that political orthodoxy. Why do we think that might be true, though?
Well, I don't know if it's true, but I think that it's an interesting area to explore, and I think that the point that you've made is probably true. I don't have any evidence to suggest that everyone who is a professor in the university system today necessarily represents a left-wing view, nor am I convinced that every young professor entering the academy has a different point of view. All I'm suggesting is that there should be challenges that occur. There should be an opportunity for faculty members to engage in debate. There should be an opportunity for young people to be able to move up into positions of authority. There has to be this kind of exchange that takes place, an airing of different opinions. And my feeling is that very little of that is occurring, in large part because the same professors remain in the same positions without challenge until, unfortunately, they pass this mortal coil.
Last question. If you were back in your decanal position, your dean's desk, what set of human resource tools do you think would be humanely and appropriately employed in regard to this aging professoriate?
Well, one of the things I think that you should do is to challenge the tenure system. I think that would be enormously helpful. When I was a dean, I was very much opposed to it. I usually lost those battles, I might add, but I was opposed to the idea of tenure. The second thing that I think is very important is to consider the role that elderly faculty members can play, bringing them back into the academy, asking them to be consultants, and of course, even coaching some of the younger faculty members with the kind of exchange of opinion that I think is so desirable. The role that an elderly faculty member can play is very important, and I do not lose sight of the wisdom and the experience that they've had in the past. All I'm saying is that I would like to see an environment where there's more debate, there's more openness, and there's more airing of different opinions.
Well, the graying of the academy may be part of the graying of America more broadly as the baby boom works its way, the mouse through the snake and all of that. But, well, thank you, Herb. Fascinating conversation. This has been another in our series of conversations entitled From the Desk of the Dean, appearing on the Manhattan Institute's web magazine, Minding the Campus, and featuring Herb London, Senior Fellow of the Institute's Center for the American University and the former Dean of the Gallatin College for Individual Study at New York University. For the Manhattan Institute, I'm Vice President for Policy Research, Howard Husett.